All right. Well, good afternoon, church. Great to be with you all again on this Sunday afternoon. We're continuing our journey through the Peter Pan and the Gospel series, looking at what spiritual maturity looks like in different areas of our lives. And more specifically, the call that the gospel has on us to grow up. And we've defined that, broadly speaking, as taking responsibility for ourselves and for other people. The gospel calls us to take responsibility for ourselves and other people. And we've been looking at different aspects of our lives and how that is true. Last week, we talked about how the gospel calls us to take responsibility in our work and helped shape some ways in which we understand our work. Today, I want to talk specifically about taking responsibility for our bodies, particularly our health and how we steward our time and resources and those sorts of things. And what we're going to do is we're going to jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 12, as a starting point as we launch into things today. So just as you're flipping there, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, before I get into it, I want to start with a kind of a funny story. When I first started in university, there was a cafeteria we'd go to, I think at Mac, it's called Centro now. It was called something different way back in the Ice Age when I went to school. And there was a restaurant there called Sizzles. And you can imagine what Sizzles made. They made like burgers and fries and, you know, 17-year-old me thought he was in paradise moving into university with a food cart. I could go to Sizzles every day, and I could eat whatever I wanted. So sure enough, I went to Sizzles every day and got a buffalo chicken wrap for the first 2 weeks of school. I'm pretty sure that's all I ate was buffalo chicken wraps, like hot sauce, deep-fried chicken on a white tortilla. Maybe some pale ice cream, you know, iceberg lettuce on there or something. And man, I thought it was heaven. This was great. I could eat basically whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, and I didn't even really feel like I was paying for it. And I can remember, you know, round one, round two, they were still tasty. Round three, round four, things were going good, living in paradise. But by my, I don't know, my 10th or 11th or 12th, maybe my 14th buffalo chicken wrap in a row, I was starting to malfunction as a human being. It turns out you need fiber and, you know, vitamins and those sorts of things. And so I'm going to spare you the gory details, but let's just say that I needed to make some significant modifications to my food intake for my digestive system to operate correctly. And isn't that funny? Like we start university and for a lot of people, it's like the first taste of freedom. I want to talk about this idea of freedom and how it connects to our bodies. And before I continue on with that thought, let's jump to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. And it says this, we'll read it. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will do away with them both. However, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Don't you know that your bodies are part of Christ's body? So should I take part of Christ's body and make it part of a prostitute? Absolutely not. Don't you know that anyone joined to a prostitute is one body with her? For Scripture says the two will become one flesh. But anyone joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word that shines a light on the value and significance of our bodies. And I pray that you would help us to understand how we are to take responsibility for them and how that extends to other people. Lord, I pray that today would be seasoned with grace, but also that your spirit would speak to make us more like you. Amen. Now, that passage I just read is, of course, specifically talking about sexual immorality. But what it's doing at a sort of a more expanded layer is establishing some clear value around our bodies. In other words, establishing that what we do with our bodies significantly matters. Our bodies are not trash to be thrown out, where they're not to be just used however we want. Like, our bodies matter. The question is, why is that? And what do we do with it? And why is it that the gospel calls us to honor our bodies? So it's not just about saying, hey, take care of your body because it's important. Like, why is that? What is that? What is the connection to the gospel? Moreover, how do we take responsibility for how we live? How do we take responsibility for how other people live? Like, what does that look like? Now, in order to really understand this question, I think we need to wind back the question a little further and examine what happens when we don't take responsibility for our bodies and what we do with them. What happens when we don't take responsibility? Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in verse 12 here. He says, I have the right to do anything, you say. But, Paul says, not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, you say. But, Paul says, I will not be mastered by anything. You see, when we fail to take responsibility, what happens is that we become prone to overindulgence. Now, this is true for all humans. All humans in some area have a tendency towards overindulgence, whether it's substances, content, overindulgence in becoming obsessed with a particular pursuit. We can very quickly become mastered by the things that we are doing. And what Paul is doing here is he's highlighting that when we don't take responsibility, when we say, you know what, I get to do whatever I want, I'm going to do whatever I want, we become both mastered by that thing and also subject to the negative consequences. Some of them are more silly like others, like I became, I gave myself over to the buffalo chicken wrap, and as a result, I suffered the negative consequences. It was not beneficial to me. I can eat whatever I want, I said. Yes, but it's not necessarily going to be beneficial. Now, this principle of saying I get to do whatever I want, but learning to instead calibrate our freedom by an appropriate taking responsibility instead of overindulging, we learn to take responsibility applies in at least three really specific ways that I want to unpack for a moment and draw the gospel into it. So the first thought here is that the gospel calls us to live with courage as we face the world rather than escaping the world. So one of the ways that we can tend to be mastered by things, or we can take advantage of our right to do anything, is we can say, you know, I'm going to escape the world. I don't like what I see. I'm afraid of what's happening in my life. I don't like the things that are going on around me. So I'm going to escape. I'm going to run from my problems. I'm going to run from the things and I'm going to escape them. So for example, we can, you know, overindulge as a result in binge watching. We can use media as an escape tool and abuse our bodies by basically shelling our minds with just, again, like total over-influx of trashy information. And this escapist tendency is basically saying, I get to do whatever I want. And Paul's saying, yes, but do not be mastered by it. And the reason we as Christians should not overindulge in escaping is because we do not need to escape from the world. We have no need to overindulge our freedom to do whatever we want because we're not afraid of the world. We don't need to run from our problems. We don't need to run from the problems of the world. Why? Because we have hope that Christ is in control. Some people would say, ah, come on, what's the big deal? It's just for fun. Sometimes people even, like, will use substances to escape. Like, we can use drunkenness or weed or other drugs to escape from the world. Maybe because we don't like ourselves or because we don't like what's happening. And that escapist tendency, we can say, well, you know, it's just fun. It's not harming anyone. It's not a big deal. But what Paul is helping us see here is he's saying, you know, yeah, it might on the surface seem like it's not harming anyone. But don't be so proud to believe that you can't be mastered by the things that you're using to escape. We become enslaved, Paul says in Romans 6, to the things that we obey. So if we overindulge in escaping in the world, whether in fun, innocent ways or less fun, less innocent ways, whether it's a one-time thing or an ongoing thing, we run the risk of both suffering negative consequences, but more importantly, becoming enslaved to it. But the gospel says we don't need to escape. We don't need to overindulge because we have hope in Christ. Now, the second area, so part one area we overindulge is to escape. That's often with substances and media. A second way that we can fail to take responsibility for ourselves or overindulge is to basically, again, use substances that we ingest into our bodies to change ourselves. Now, a really common theme is that people will use alcohol in particular to change or modify their personality in order to belong in a group. You know, I really struggle with social anxiety, so a little bit of alcohol eases the, you know, greases the wheels, we might say. Or I really struggle with my personality or who I am, and I like who I am when I'm drunk. So I'm going to use those substances to modify my personality. Not only says I'm modifying my personality, but that's what's going on. We're saying I don't like who I am when I'm sober, so I'm going to change who I am using alcohol so that I have a greater sense of belonging. This is essentially a denial of responsibility for ourselves and an overindulging to become someone else. But you see, the gospel calls us to live with integrity. Integrity is the idea that we are a consistent, integrated whole. Said another way, we are the same person all the time. The reason why, as Christians, we are not ever to get drunk or to use drugs is not because we don't like a good time. It's because we understand that in Christ, He is the one who makes us whole, and that we are to pursue an integrated wholeness in Him rather than seek to change ourselves in order to belong in a crowd. The third way that we can engage in overindulgence is simply by losing self-control, by just getting wrapped up in what's happening around us. Again, this is common with substances. Well, one thing led to another, and next thing you know, I was drinking too much. One thing led to another, and next thing you know, it was 3 a.m., and I'd been gaming for 8 hours straight. One thing led to another, and I'm going to hit one that maybe we don't talk about in the church for a moment. One thing led to another, and I ate 14 plates of sushi. Did you know gluttony is a sin? When we overindulge and lose self-control? One thing led to another, and I watched 14 episodes of, I don't even know what shows are popular right now. I'm just not even going to try. The loss of self-control is a failure to take responsibility. And we become given over, mastered by our sinful nature. But the gospel reminds us and teaches us that we are no longer enslaved to that sinful, overindulgent nature. Rather, we have been set free by Christ. We've been invited into wholeness in Christ, and we've been invited to receive and bear the fruit of the spirit of self-control by the grace of Christ. And so we are not an overindulgent people in that we do not escape the world. We do not overindulge to escape. We do not overindulge to change who we are. And we do not overindulge as a loss of self-control. So what does it look like then to take responsibility? How can we take responsibility for our bodies? Why is it that we should take responsibility? Well, let's go to verse 19 here of chapter 6. It says, "Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, whom is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God with your bodies." So the gospel teaches us that we have received by the grace of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the living God resides in us. We forget this really easily as Christians, that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us to comfort us, to guide us, to empower us to live a supernatural, Spirit-filled life, but also that through the Holy Spirit, we would live lives that would glorify God. And that therefore, the house of the Spirit, the body, is actually a temple, and we are to value it and cherish it. Did you know that you literally, if you are a follower of Jesus and you have received him into your life and submitted to him as Lord and confessed him with your life, that you have received the Holy Spirit in you, it says in Ephesians. You have the seal of the Holy Spirit on you. The living God resides within you. So we are to take responsibility for the house that is the Spirit, the house for the Spirit of God. This is perhaps, I believe, one of the most compelling reasons for us to be a responsible, disciplined people. Really practically, like what does this mean? Well, we're going to get in a moment to how living a Spirit-filled life has implications for our relationships and other things. But if we house the temple, or if our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, it means that we are to care for them. Really practically, we are to care for our bodies. That means that we are to be disciplined with our sleep. We shouldn't stay up all night, unless, of course, you're a shift worker. We love you. Bless you, shift workers. You can interpret this for your context. But we are not to, you know, stay up till 3 in the morning and sleep in till noon and not really care about our bodies. And we are to be disciplined. We are to care for our bodies. We are to intentionally exercise. We're going to cover this in a minute. Taking care of the physical well-being of our bodies through exercise. We are to put sustainable, healthy, nourishing food into our bodies, not trash. It is good for us to pay attention to things like our weight and our diet and our healthy eating. Now, of course, we are not to be mastered by those things and overindulge, which of course is a challenge, but we are to care for the temple, not to let it rot and decay. We should have routines. I know this is going to blow your mind, but I really believe that part of stewarding the temple is that we have a routine, a bedtime and a wake up time. That we don't go to bed whenever we want and wake up whenever we want, but we steward our bodies well. They need sleep, and we give them the sleep that they need. We must care for our bodies, for they are a temple. The second part of taking responsibility is to understand that we are running a marathon. And the gospel calls us to take a marathon view to our lives. Later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says this. He says, "So I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box it like one beating the air." You know what running aimlessly looks like? It looks like going to bed at 3 a.m. and whenever you're tired and waking up whenever you want and eating whatever you want. That's like an aimless running. It's like I'm going to exercise when I feel like it only. You know, it's aimless. No. Instead, Paul says, I discipline my verse 27, my body, and I bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Paul says here that he disciplines his body and he brings it under strict control. We as Christians are to be a disciplined people. Disciplined in the way that we care for our bodies. Now, why is that? What Paul points to here is he says, so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Paul doesn't want to live a life where after being faithful with the gospel to the people he's preaching, he runs out of gas and he just crashes and burns in life. And he literally burns out, or figuratively burns out. Paul understands that he is running a marathon. that he wants to be faithful in ministry for the long term. And that therefore, he needed to discipline his body. And he needed to take care of it. One of the things that we really value as a church is the idea that everyone is called to a life of sacrificial ministry. Everyone is called to full-time ministry. Full-time living as missionary ambassadors for the kingdom of God. That's the calling that we have as followers of Christ. But in order to live that way, it is demanding. It is tiring. It's hard to engage in discipleship after a full day of work. I know, I get it. It's exhausting at times. It's hard to do evangelism when you feel like you can barely get your head screwed on straight. It's hard to show up to church sometimes. Sometimes I don't want to show up to church. But it takes discipline to do these things. And we are to be disciplined. Why? Because it is through discipline, it is through routine, it is through committing to things when it's difficult and we're tired and building routines around it that we can sustain for the marathon. If we are going to be faithful evangelists, faithful missionaries, faithful disciple makers for decades, then we need to pay attention to our bodies. We need to pay attention to what our bodies need. We need to learn how to care for ourselves when we are tired. At the same time, we do not need to fear being tired. And this is, I think, the liberating joy of the gospel, is that the pursuit of our lives is not just to live with healthy bodies and thriving and to live forever. No, we know we're not going to live forever. No, the goal of our lives is to live so that we can preach to as many people as possible, but not, as Paul says, disqualify ourselves. Meaning that we don't crash and burn. So what the gospel is doing here is quite brilliant. It's both giving us a vision for our lives and a reason to take care of our bodies without enslaving us to a life of being obsessed with caring for our bodies. Saying it's giving a reason to caring for our bodies, which is we care for our bodies so that we can bless other people. And this leads to the third way we take responsibility. We steward our bodies because we no longer live for ourselves. Paul says in chapter 10 of Corinthians, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything builds up. And then he says, no one is to seek his own good, but the good of the other person. So if we put Paul's whole collection of thoughts here from Corinthians together, you could see that he's calling us to strict discipline. He's calling us to not overindulge. He's calling us to steward the Holy Spirit. Why? Because what's the ultimate reason here? Because we are not to seek our own good, but the good of the other person. The reason why we need to take care of our bodies is because we are desiring to serve others. It's very hard to serve others if we haven't first taken care of ourselves. It's very hard to serve others for the long term if we're not paying attention to our well-being, if we end up sick or weak or so forth. Now, I don't mean for reasons outside of our control, but because of neglect or another reason. On a personal level for me, this is why I ride my bike. Bike riding is my personal passion, but it's also an important means that I clear my mind, that I take care of my body, that I nourish myself. It means that through my cycling, I pay attention to things like even my body weight, ensuring that I'm healthy and fit and strong. Why? So that I can continue to do what I'm doing for decades. I don't want to run out of gas serving the kingdom of God because I didn't take care of my body. So it's important that I allocate time to do that. It's important that I allocate time for proper sleep. Why? So that I can serve effectively. There's an interesting example of this in Paul's mentoring of Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5. He says to Timothy, and you have to understand the broader context of the letter to Timothy. The letter from Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy is really a mentorship letter, Paul instructing Timothy on how he is to lead the churches, how he is to take the mantle of not seeking his own good, but the good of every other person. And Paul says to Timothy, he says, stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. It's an interesting little practical piece of advice that he gives Timothy, and we must stop and ask why. Why did Paul say that? Well, partly because he loves Timothy and he wants him to be healthy, but also because he understands that in order for Timothy to effectively steward the mantle of leadership that he has, he needed to steward his body. So we've looked so far at this idea that we could do anything. We can live however we want, but we don't, because we're not to be mastered by anything. And moreover, we're called to take responsibility for our bodies because it is our bodies are a temple for the Holy Spirit. And we are to take responsibility for other people. But I want to expand on this idea of taking responsibility for other people. So far, we've really talked about we steward our bodies so that we can serve other people in the long term. But the other reason we steward our bodies is to set an example and to live faithfully, leading other people to Christ. I want to jump over to Ephesians chapter 5, another of Paul's letters. We're really just surveying Paul's thought here. And he says in chapter 5, he says, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit. Paul instructs us. He's instructed us in all kinds of ways, not to be mastered, to be disciplined. But now he's instructing us to be very careful how we live, because how we live impacts the witness and effect of the gospel. We can live foolishly. If we do not care for our bodies and we overindulge, that is a foolish way to live. Why? Because it fails to demonstrate the glory of the gospel. Instead, we must, according to Paul here, seek to live faithful to the will of the Lord. What this is inviting us to do is to learn to think and live like leaders. Like I said a moment ago, every one of us is called to live into this identity as a missionary disciple maker for the kingdom, which means that all of us need to learn to live and think like leaders. Really practically, what that means is we must ask, how will my actions and what I do with my body be understood by other people? We don't get to live saying, I can do whatever I want. Instead, we must ask, how will this impact other people? How will they interpret it? How will they misinterpret it? How could they be confused? We must ask, what if others are to replicate my attitude, behavior, thoughts, patterns, words, or deeds? And this expands to not just what we eat and our rhythms around consumption and those sorts of things, but to every area of our life, our finances, our media consumption. We must ask, Holy Spirit, how are we to live? And this is where I believe the gospel really invites us to something beautiful. Paul doesn't say to us, pay careful attention then how you are to walk, and make sure you do everything right. He says he invites us to pay careful attention to how we walk, but then look at how he says how we are to do that. He says, but don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, the invitation of the gospel is that we become people who walk and live by the Spirit. We should desire to be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because without the Spirit, we cannot live the kind of life that we are to live as ambassadors for the kingdom. We are to live by the Spirit so that we can live the Spirit-powered life. You see, when we have been captivated by the beauty of Jesus, and the call to live in a way that is honorable to Him. Disciplining our bodies, being faithful with our witness, living consistently with integrity, and making disciples and so forth. It is impossible on our own. We cannot live into the way of Jesus in our own strength. We can't just do better. No. The gospel doesn't call us to be people who live perfect lives. No, the gospel calls us to be people who live spirit-powered lives. The answer to everything I've been saying today is not better mental health podcasts, more nutritional food, a better sleep routine, though those things may be helpful, perhaps very helpful. No, the answer is to is to humbly invite the Holy Spirit to fill us, that we would live spirit-powered lives. Lives where every aspect of us is surrendered to the will of the Lord. And by His grace, we walk in obedience. I'm sure that for every person today, some part of what I've touched on has touched a needle or has touched a sort of a sore point. Because we've covered such a wide range of issues from routine to schedule to body health to mental health and so forth. The answer to what we do with maybe that little bit of soreness that we can feel is not to feel guilt. That's not the gospel. But rather to say, Holy Spirit, help me walk by your power. Help me live in the way that you've called me to live. Now, having said that, I wanted to give a really brief practical framework for how we can actually do this. Like practically, how do we enact this? How do we know how we are to live? A while back, we developed a framework for doing this as a church. It's actually, you can find it on engage.liftchurch.ca under substances and substance consumption, but it applies to lots of areas in our lives. And so if you're navigating a decision around how are we to live, what kind of decisions should we make, I want to just walk you through six questions that you can ask yourself. Six questions you gotta ask yourself. This could apply to media, substances, routines, all kinds of things. Really practical takeaway for you today. Number one, is it legal? Is it legal? If it's not legal, we shouldn't do it. Pretty simple. We are to obey the law. Number two, does it treat my body as a temple? Does it honor the Holy Spirit in me? Number three, does it lead me towards a life of integrity? Does it lead me towards a life of integrity, that integrated whole life? Number four, does it lead me toward being spirit-controlled, led by the Spirit, spirit-filled? Number five, does it allow me to be alert and sober-minded? And number six, what kind of witness is it to others? Those I'm discipling, those in my church, or those outside? You can find those six questions on the substances resource on engage.liftchurch.ca and more resources there. But I hope those six questions help you maybe work through a bit of a decision-making framework. Thanks so much for joining as we have journeyed through this next session on Peter Pan and the Gospel. Why don't we pray as we close? Holy Spirit, we thank you that you want to fill us and empower us to live a spirit-filled life. And Lord, I just pray that for my brothers and sisters today, that we would be a spirit-filled people, walking by your power, disciplined, sober, alert, but ultimately a people of spirit-filled power. Jesus, that we would live not for ourselves, but we would live to serve and bless others. That what we do with our bodies would serve that objective. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that by your grace we can do that. Amen. Amen. All right, love you guys. Be blessed. Have a great week.